Texas Representative Pete Sessions has introduced H.R. 642, a bill recognizing magic as a rare and valuable art form and national treasure. That's right. Congress might actually pass something, and all it took was magic.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
David Gabay, thank you for doing Two Magicians, One Mic.
Thank you.
In this, we're in the Hat and Hair bar underneath the Magic Castle. I'm just describing it for everyone. It's going to be pretty loud.
We're by the warped dartboard.
Which, as I said before, I didn't know was a thing, but... Is that a gimmick dartboard or is...
No, it's just a dartboard. They used to use it, but there used to be darts back there, actually, right behind it, but hasn't been there for a few years, so...
Interesting.
Maybe if you brought your own darts.
Yeah, one day. One day, once I'm big enough here at the Magic Castle, I'll bring my own darts. But you're performing this week, and are you doing anything special, anything different?
No, nothing different. Just doing the same parlor set, but kind of moving things around a little bit. So I suppose so, changing up the music, the timing on some stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, basically it's very similar to what I did last year.
Okay. And what do you think? Because you're in the parlor, so what, in your opinion, what works best in that type of situation?
I'm still trying to gauge that. Yeah. That's 60, I think, or a little less than that. Somewhere around 60. Stuff that you could hold up, basically, I think, at the end of the day. I think it matters more that they see what's happening not rather than effect, but it doesn't matter how good the effect is. If they can't see it, then you're kind of lost. So I think as long as everybody can see it and it's something that's engaging, mm-hmm. then you're a win.
Yeah, I've seen people do pretty tiny things in there, and I realized it the other, about a week or two ago, I was catching a show, and you're so far, it's like, what, 10 rows?
Yeah, the last row is really far back.
Yeah, and you don't realize it until you're sitting there, and it's like watching something on television.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think what's good about that room is you learn, you know, what can play for any type of crowd, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, I'm lucky enough to see some shows there, so I can... see what works, what mm-hmm. doesn't work, what type of effects work. It's amazing how, you know, Invisible Deck is one of the best tricks you can do in there at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. You can see that from a mile away.
Yeah, and it gets a huge reaction. So it's one of those things about picking the right material, I suppose. And, you know, it's a journey we're all on, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, some of us, but, you know.
It depends. And I saw you in October. You created this character, Bijan the Magician.
Yes.
Magician, however you want to pronounce it. My wife and I thought was just brilliant and hysterical. And where did that come from? And if you could describe that a little bit.
Well, yeah, my background, I'm Persian, but I was born here and everything. So I have that, you know, I have parents and grandparents and stuff like that. So I suppose I got it from them, and just this, you know, acting like some of my relatives I see. And I used to do it with my roommate and just like joke around in the voice. And Matt Falk, he's also a magician, and he's, you know, we worked together on building the character kind of and turning it into a magic thing where you do silly magic, and I suppose having it be like the bore out of magic was the impetus, and then we kind of went from there, you know.
Yeah. Do you think you'll take that anywhere else? Because I saw that in so many different types of venues.
Oh,
not
venues.
Just here.
Yeah, I did a Fringe show actually 2 years ago. I'm trying to remember what year it was, like 2013 or something like that. And I did a parlor show, basically, you know, like a 45 or 50 minute show. Mm-hmm. It was like parlor close up, I suppose. All as the character, and then I did different things. I did a few private parties here and there, but that was just from people seeing me do the character for the Fringe show. So I didn't really do it much. And then I did McBride's Wonderground a few times. You know, I bring it out for that, and basically just do it every now and then for random things, but not really. I'm definitely thinking about it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's good because all. I like so much material, but some of it's not for me. And then as Bijan, I can do that material. And
yeah.
I think that's what's really cool. So I can always pick and choose. And then I kind of, you know, it's funny, sometimes I want to do something and then I kind of want to steal my alter ego's material sometimes. So, you know, oh, that would be good for me. I can do that. But it's like, so it's kind of nice. It's a way to mess around with more material and not have it be you doing it per se.
Sure.
I suppose. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that I totally make sense. And trying to figure out, I'm sure it doesn't work. I have that issue with certain things I do. It doesn't work for like a corporate audience versus a, you know, family or theatrical audience. You,
yeah,
you have
definitely
to figure out, you know, how you're going to look best, you know, because people are only most of the time going to see you once.
So yeah, yeah.
You want to, well, do your best you can.
Yeah, and I was here for Halloween week, so it was a good week for it to be, even though, you know, Bijan's a serious character, then for him, he's not dressing up. But but I think it helped, and it was just had that festive, you know, Halloweenish atmosphere where you could kind of get away with a little more than you would otherwise. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's always good to have that
the venue.
Yeah, that venue and that ability to play with the character. I think the character is so important when it comes to magic and is sometimes forgotten.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How do you see your character when you're not Bijan?
Yeah, that's a good question. I suppose I kind of do Bijan to find out more about myself. I think my character is I guess I'm influenced by David Williamson a little bit.
Sure.
Back in the day, and then and kind of how he's like, you know, he messes up or he does, you know, like he'll mess up his shuffle just to seem a little more human or whatever that idea is. And I suppose, like, I want to be just that regular guy that happens, or, you know, a little cooler than the regular guy that happens to do cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's what it is, where I could theoretically remind them of someone they know. And hopefully not be too pretentious, you know, but
sure.
I don't know how it comes off, but
yeah, you never know. You never know. And, you do a lot of lectures and you've written a lot of magic and putting a lot of stuff out there. How did that come about? And is that something you're super passionate about, or is that just a side project, or you, how do you see it?
Well, thank you for the word a lot. but
compared to me, who's done nothing. So,
well, how did it come about? I think I just wanted to. I started putting tricks together, and I think I came out with Stitch a while back, and then that was kind of a fun thing. And then I thought about working on other stuff and lecture notes. So, and yeah, I was gonna do IMX in 2012, I want to say. And then, so since I got booked for that, I wanted to have a cool lecture notes and put all this stuff together. So honestly, it was I had all the stuff, but it was the deadline that really made it happen, especially since the deadline was so far in advance. I thought, oh, there's a big convention. So right before it, I did a lecture a few weeks before that and then went and did that. And then after that, it was like, I already had this lecture. So, I started doing it, and, I wouldn't say it's at the forefront creating magic and putting things together, because I think there's definitely enough out there, and you know, it's that saying, like, always you have to give more. What's the point of doing something if it's not going to shake anything? Like, you know, we don't really need, in my opinion, another you know, count for something like that.
Yeah.
But maybe we do. I don't know. I'm not, because I look towards more the performance of it and stuff like that rather than the minutia and so yeah, basically, I think I just like performing more, and as a byproduct, whatever I come up with, I put together. That's why I haven't put out anything new recently, because I want it to be something good. And the good thing is, sometimes if it's not for you and you come up with it, it might be for someone else. So it's
sure,
always a good thing. And I want to come out with things that I do and I enjoy. So and yeah, lecturing just came out as a byproduct, and a very beneficial byproduct, because mm-hmm. I got to go to all these cool magic clubs. And mm-hmm. so I definitely enjoy it and, you know, like the whole scene. So.
And how often do you go out and do lectures?
Nowadays I do, I suppose, probably a few a year, you know, something like that. But I did a little lecture tour a few years back. And I did, you know, like 15 in the 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So I did a lot that year. And then now, because I have the same lecture that I've had, so I'm working on a new one, but I'm not really in any rush or anything like that, because I enjoy it, but it's also, you know, a lot of travel and stuff like that for lugging around lecture notes, and people don't like buying paper anymore. So
how do you combat that? Is it all digital? Is it downloads?
Yeah, I have the lecture notes, and I have digital, and I have downloads. I don't really have that much products. I suppose I combat it by doing a small tour a few places, and mainly I go somewhere where I haven't seen, you know. So if I haven't been there, I'm willing to do it, and it's a little more worth it for me. So
yeah, because
I enjoy doing it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's the important part of it. I first saw you at Eric Olson's place at Wizards.
Oh yeah,
Kiss Me, like a couple of years ago, and yeah, it was. What struck me the most about you was your style, was your just relaxed cadence. And is that something you consciously do, or?
I think it's
subconscious. This is meant to be, meant to be a compliment.
No,
because
I hear you.
Coming from me, where I'm like, oh, okay, and do this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking too fast half the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I go too fast sometimes, too. You know, I try to slow down. And I suppose, yeah, it's been a conscious thing to slow down. But it's just, you know, my relaxed nature and. I like to take my time with it. You know, sometimes I definitely do feel myself rushing, you know, and it's a weird thing when you're doing a magic show and you're going through some necessary procedural part. You know, all magic, all tricks have some sort of procedure going on, and where, you know, you haven't gotten applause or a laugh in a while, and sometimes it's like, oh, you know, there's this nervousness to speed up or get to the thing so you can have the moment.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes just holding it a little bit longer makes the end result that much better. Like a drawn out invisible deck, you know, is a good example. Mm-hmm. And then boom, and it gets this huge reaction.
Sure.
So I think, yeah, it's definitely a conscious thing a little bit, but it's also comes easy, you know, mm-hmm. So.
And what are like some career goals for you? What do you want to, what's something you've done, like a fringe show, you've performed here, you toured, your lectures, what's next on the docket?
Just stay, you know, under the radar-ish, but, you know, around. I definitely enjoy the magic community, so, you know, I like going to conventions and all of that stuff. But, yeah, just doing shows, coming out with stuff every now and then. And but yeah, mainly working and doing my magic shows.
How do you mean under the radar? How does that?
Just, you know, I like, well, I'm not really, but just
very stealthy.
Yeah, just staying
busy.
Well, I mean, as if fame is, you know, outside of the magic world, you know, there's only one or two or three famous magicians, but in the magic world, there's a bunch of famous magicians.
Yeah.
So just staying, you know, under the radar, where it's like. Because, yeah, it is weird, you know, when I think about it and just having people know who you are and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, it's enjoyable, but only to some degree. So I definitely like being, you know, having friends in the magic world and stuff like that. But once you're this guy, you know, and I mean, it's weird because I don't think I've done that much crazy stuff, but there's people that have come up to me and said, oh man, so great, you're David. And it's like, you know, so it's mm-hmm. one of these things where, yeah, I like being the everyman to some degree.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's got to be strange and a little weird when it just kind of comes out of nowhere, especially here where there's just so many people flowing through.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, somebody could have seen you at a lecture, what, a year or two ago and, you know.
Oh, yeah, I don't realize. I mean, the last, you know, 15 years feels like nothing, but, you know, it's mm-hmm. been 15 years in the scene, so.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's amazing how, and I think that's like anything in life. You always, more people realize who you are, even if they don't know your name, than, you know, you do. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're that guy from the thing. And you're like, oh, you remember me? You
know? Yeah.
So.
Which I think is the good response as opposed to, how come you don't remember me?
Yeah, how come you don't? Yeah, so.
Because that never ends up well. I've been in the opposite end of it a couple times. And it's like, you have to slap yourself. Go, no, just stop it. Coming from that, I had a question I was going to lead into, and I lost it. I lost the train of thought here. That's what it was. How did you get started? You said you've been doing this in this community for about 15 years.
Oh, well, magic. I have two older brothers. They're the one's 5 years older than me, and the other one's 11 years older. So we're just boom, 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 a few years apart, each one of us. And so they did magic as kids, and so it sort of passed down to me. So I got that early bug from my older brother. And yeah, I just kind of kept with it. And being in Los Angeles was nice. I would go to Puzzle Zoo on 3rd Street Promenade. There was a little magic shop in there that I would frequent. And then later on, I'd go to Hollywood Magic. And then, and yeah, when I was 16, I want to say, yeah, 16, I joined the junior program.
Okay.
At the Magic Castle.
Gotcha.
And then so that was nice, you know, it kept me focused on it and able to try new stuff out and do brunch shows back then, because we do Sunday shows, close-up shows. So I got to do a lot of shows in that room and kind of get that, for better or worse, a really super good feel of doing isolated close-up shows for 25 people. So
yeah, you figure out what works and what doesn't really quickly. Yeah. Especially when people are paying, you know, decent price for brunch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're also the junior, so I suppose there's a little bit of forgiveness and all of that. Mm-hmm. And people are here to have a good time anyway, so it's definitely an easy audience, but... yeah, you learn a lot, and there's children there, so they're like drunk people. So
oh yeah, that teaches you right away. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So because you're not doing kids shows necessarily, you're doing your close-up act. And yeah, just that was kind of the push, and then just kept with it and did my studies.
Mm-hmm. What did you study?
No, I meant it was just a joke. Did my magic studies. Okay.
Did you go to college or anything?
I did. Yeah, I went to Santa Barbara, UCSB.
Okay, what'd you study there?
Psychology.
Okay, a lot. It's either philosophy, psychology, theater. It's in those realms. And how does that influence magic? How do you use that?
I don't know. That's a good question. People ask me that. I imagine subconsciously I apply things that I learned, but off the top of my head, just I think you know, seeing people and reading them a little bit, it helps to know who to pick as an assistant, you know, knowing mm-hmm. who's going to be, just being aware, I suppose. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot to be said of just, like, giving a second to read your audience and, okay, who's going to mess this up and who's not going to.
Yeah, and it's super hard in the moment. It's like, you know, working on a golf swing and saying, okay, but focus on it, and you got to, you know, that's the art to get so good that you can do all those things and not be like, hey, I'm focused on being aware, you know, but being aware. So I struggle with that too, you know. I'm there and all of a sudden I'll drift and I'll think about something else, and especially, you know, working at the castle, because I don't know, you know, except for Copperfield, at least in this isolated week, when you get to do 20, you know, 20 something shows in 1 week period, so you've done so many that you're kind of like, you know, by Friday, Saturday, it's so fluid that mm-hmm. you might start to drift, you know.
Yeah, you're like, all right, I've done this, I got it. And then something will go terribly wrong.
Yeah, and it'll blend. You don't remember which audience is which. So that's for me, that's the focus now, is to just kind of be in the moment then, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, for sure. And so do you specialize, is your interest primarily close-up, or are you looking towards stage stuff
too? You know, both. I definitely have done more parlor-ish style magic in the last few years, and because it was all, I mean, I started out with card manip, you know, after I got pushed into magic by my brothers and, you know, got the thumb tip and all that stuff, then I just somehow I think I got that Jeff McBride manipulations VHS. I got volume 2, and the first or second thing was the Cardini single card production, and I was like, wait, that's the thing that I see on TV that the guy's doing on World's Greatest Magic, and boom, I learned most of the stuff in that volume 2 the Jeff McBride. And it was so funny how back then you'd absorb every last bit of information from that stuff. So and that was, you know, that VHS had a million different things in it. So I got into card manip, and I tried out here in manipulation at the castle as a junior, and I didn't get in. And then 6 months later, I tried out for close up. So I imagine the feedback of that, like, mild success made me kind of just step away from the card manip mm-hmm. and into the close up.
Yeah, that's a whole different ball game.
Oh, yeah, and especially now, you know.
Sure, stuff
that's going on, you know.
Yeah, any type of Japanese or Chinese magician who I've seen doing a couple of guys that were on Foolist last year. Just the stuff they're doing is just puts anything we're doing over here to shame. It's beautiful.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely a different thing because there's more lighting and gimmick and whatnot rather than the raw. Here I am. I'm Cardini. Bam.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Especially him doing that with gloves on and stuff. Yeah. That's just amazing.
But then again, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about the effects. So whatever it takes to get there rather than me, you know, with my, oh no, but I'm doing real back palming and you can see the corners sticking out or whatnot. But so I don't know. It's, but there's something about being a child and being all like, hey, this is a deck of cards and I can do all these things with my hands and the cards. It was just boom, done deal.
Yeah.
So
what are your influences outside of Magic?
I love music. I play the drums a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Play bass a tiny, tiny bit. Yeah, that's my main thing. I definitely like listening to music, discovering new bands, going to a lot of live concerts and live entertainment in general, just to kind of see what people do, you know, live entertainers outside of Magic.
Yeah.
Because especially here, I think, you know, it's hard. It's easy to get focused into that. And and then exercising, I bike ride, I... Yeah, I don't watch a lot of TV, and I've gotten into reading more in the last year because I never really read outside of schooling and stuff like that, and Magic books.
Yeah.
But now starting to read other things.
Yeah, so, yeah, that helps. I mean, does storytelling influence?
Yeah, a little bit. I definitely, I mean, I feel like I'm a natural, better than average conversational when it's a bunch of people storyteller, but you know, to have it go to the next level and have it be in a show and be engaging, you know, definitely it's nice to constantly, you know, hear stories. Oh, a lot of, speaking of stories, like I listen to podcasts, Radiolab is a good one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And boom. So that just, you know, expands my mind and gets me thinking about new stuff.
Yeah, especially true stories. This American Life does it really well. And just the element of something that's actually happened to somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wild. So we ask everybody worst gig experience and best gig experience. Anything in particular stick out in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, worst gig experience was just... I guess it wasn't that bad because it didn't ever happen, but I just got there so, so late. It was like after, you know, I think I was there an hour late
or something.
But I committed and I drove all the way there. And I think, I don't even know what happened. She offered to pay me some and I just felt so bad. And it was basically that. I think I turned around and walked away and went home. So a few years back. Yeah. So I just didn't, you know, poor planning. And this was before Google Maps and all of that. So I definitely didn't have real time. I mean, that's been saving. That's made me.
Yeah. I don't know what we did. I mean, I was working before Google Maps and, you know, I would, you know, have the written directions down and I don't know what people did before having like real time GPS.
Oh, I have another worse. Okay. This one was like really the worst. Cause it was such a great one too, is that these parents were throwing their 30-year-old a birthday party, but they weren't gonna be there. It was just for him and like and like eight of his friends or something. It was really small and they had this beautiful room in this hotel. I thought it was like, I couldn't even believe it was a real thing because it sounded too good to be true. I showed up, they paid what did they do? They paid me and then they left. And I'm just by myself in this room because the parents were all like, all right, they're going to come in like 20 minutes. I'm like, this is so weird. Is this a joke or something? And it wasn't. It was totally a real gig. But the birthday boy walks in just drunk and everybody's kind of, you know, and he's this 30-year-old dude. You know, I don't blame him. And he didn't know there would be a magician or anything. And they had me do a 40-minute show.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, all right, we got to do this. And there was, like, nobody outside of me that was part of the... It was very weird. There was hotel staff, and there was... It was crazy because it was a nice room. They were serving the meals from the restaurant that was adjacent. It was just this odd thing, like, I got my money, but I didn't know what was happening. And the guy was just heckling me the whole show. And it was just so so bizarre. And, you know, I just did a shorter thing. And, you know, there were definitely people into it, but all I remember is him. It wasn't as bad as my memory's making out to be, but it just felt, given the venue, how beautiful and perfect it was, it was just a shame that it was such a...
It's anytime somebody, if I'm talking to them on the phone or if there's an email that says, yeah, and you're going to be a surprise, I've learned to immediately go, oh, no, 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 that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the worst thing that can be a surprise is, hey, we got you a magician, especially if you don't like magicians.
For sure. So it was just, I don't know how it all went down. It sounded so perfect. And, yeah, that's why you can never, you know too much about the gig. Definitely, you know.
Just ask as many questions. What kind of water are you serving? Yeah. Positive gig. Anything that sticks
positive.
Out?
I did there's definitely a lot where it just goes exactly how you thought it would be, and it just feels perfect and everything went right, and it's just you're lifted after that. I recently did this show in a house, and it was just beautiful. The atmosphere was beautiful, and it was just, I felt so on point, and it felt like I was very connected to them. So, 'cause sometimes I feel very on point. Mm-hmm. But maybe whatever's going on around and just timing wise, it doesn't feel like everyone's checked in, you know, especially if there's alcohol or whatever it is. And this was just a daytime thing, and it was just beautiful. And what was it? It was just, after I was done, it just didn't seem like everyone was genuinely into it. And that's when I realized, wow, this is a cool thing. You know, if people don't see magic and they know there's going to be magic and they're seeing it live, and then it's worth every penny, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to, where you're hired and people, you know, are mixed about it.
Yeah, so. Why is this guy here? Can he leave now?
Which is always the weird thing with walk around, because they don't know, but then boom, you do it, you kill it. And I'm sure that happens to a lot of guys out there, because, they don't know, and you're going to do some good tricks at the end of the day, whatever. That's what you do. I mean, come on. So you do it, and then wow, and it's so it's kind of that it's, I feel like the public is definitely has mixed feelings, but it's the magic's moving on up and more people are into it. But I should bring my kid over to watch this, you know. Mm-hmm. So
which is always weird to me when you perform for a whole bunch of adults and then someone says, you know who would love this, my 7-year-old. I'm like, how do I remind you of your 7-year-old? Yeah, close-ups is good and strange in that sense of you have to get to everybody, and appease everybody throughout 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is, as opposed to a show where you're like, all right, 30, 40 minutes, everybody sees me.
Yeah,
and
you're done.
Out.
So, it's a balance, because the walk around, you know, you can, I suppose, make more errors if that, because only a few people will see it, or
something
doesn't
messes
go.
Up,
yeah,
not,
whatever, but... when it's one show, it's like, boom, that's the deal. So I suppose that's an important aspect of why it's a little more high stakes, I suppose, because mm-hmm. you have to get it right.
Especially if you're getting paid a little bit more too.
So, but no, every show should be the best one, no matter of how much, you know. So
I did an interview yesterday with Kirk Marsh, who's going to be on in a week, and he talked about, you know, he was talking to a friend of his, and he's like, just knowing the difference between a bad audience, if the audience is bad or if you are bad, that's the difference between a seasoned performer,
for sure,
you know.
Yeah.
If you can kind of pinpoint and go, was I off or were they off, you know, or was the trick off, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. So... do you have any, as we're wrapping up here, any parting advice for any young magicians, any professional magicians, any people that aren't magicians, family members, anything you want to say to people that I haven't spoken to in a long time? This is a free space.
Well, yeah. Life's short. Make the most of it, you know, during your time here. And I know that sounds cliche, but in the last year, I've focused more on just breathing in and out when... you're in a moment, and sometimes you can like savor everything a lot more than that. So I think savoring things. And then as far as magic advice, I'd say, and this is something that I'm sure you've heard before, but I can attest to it is, boom, just open up a book, an old magic book. I mean, you got to sift through a lot of them, don't get me wrong, and you got to tweak and change, and definitely there's a lot of work involved in it, but it's far less work than coming up with a new trick from scratch, and boom, you have a new trick because no one's ever seen it.
Yeah,
especially
like
nowadays, because like I think our span of knowledge for younger people, you know, because I thought my span of knowledge was small. You know, the guys older than me, they know so much more.
Yeah.
They have like a 100-year span behind them of stuff they know. You know, mine only goes back, you know, to Stars of Magic. And then you have others that nowadays it only goes back to Amar in the 90s. And I'm sure there's people here that it only goes back to,
probably,
you know,
Blaine's latest special.
Oh yeah, you know, or just the new guys on the scene, which, yeah, they're fine, but there's so much knowledge from the past that I think
getting
it from the source is important. So, boom, just, I said boom a lot, but...
That's okay. I'm going to find all of the booms.
All the booms, yeah.
I'll email it to you.
But yeah, just... Yeah, that's. I suppose that's it. Yeah, and just opening up old text. Same thing with music. You want to discover new music?
Go back
to old music.
Yeah.
New movies, watch old movies.
The reason there are good movies now is because there were good movies.
Yeah, and it's just then. People. I get it. We want the new thing, but there's so many good things that already happened in the past. And if you're just willing to watch it, knowing that it's not fresh, you know, it's not out right now, you'll get a lot out of it.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. So. Well, thanks, David. This was
thank
fun.
You. Yeah, this rocked.
Thank you for listening to Two Magicians, One Mic podcasts. Please rate us on iTunes. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Visit our website, www.twomagiciansonemic.com. Send fan mail or hate mail to twomagiciansonemic@gmail.com. Have a great week.